Hello, this is Missy Hollander from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from the News and Observer's restaurant reviews. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. And we're going to start off with a chew on this. Once again, it's time to vent a few pet peeves at local restaurant owners. A little whining and dining, you might say. Restaurants going incommunicado. You don't have a website, or you let your site expire. You don't have an answering machine or voicemail. When I call during business hours, the phone rings and rings. Finally, someone picks up and sounds perturbed that I interrupted during meal service, and you wonder why business is bad. Stale iced coffee. On a hot summer day, I sometimes like my coffee on ice. I go into a coffee house, a premium shop, mind you, where a basic cup of coffee costs a couple of bucks, and an iced coffee at least that. Does the barista pour freshly brewed coffee over ice? No, she hauls out a plastic milk jug from a refrigerator under the counter and pours coffee from that. Coffee that, judging by the taste of it, was left over from the hour, day, week before. And don't get me started on the tip that the barista expects for her services. Verbally recited dinner specials. I'm not talking about one or two specials and verbal notification of those no longer available, and other last-minute menu changes is always welcome. I'm referring to lengthy recitations where your eyes glaze over and you couldn't possibly remember more than a quarter of the dishes described by the time the monologue is finished. Adding insult to injury is the fact that, for all the ingredient-by-ingredient detail of these descriptions, the one detail usually omitted is the price of the dish. And finally, while I'm on the subject of prices, buy one, get one deals at sushi bars. Really? Buy one, get one free all the time? Doesn't that mean you've artificially inflated the real price to offer the deal on an ongoing basis? Of course it does. Then again, I suppose these deals wouldn't be so pervasive if a lot of people didn't buy them. And yes, I admit that I'm one of those people. There, it feels good to get that off my chest. Think I'll go celebrate with an iced coffee. This time, though, I'm going to order a cup of hot, freshly brewed coffee and a big cup of ice on the side. And this is also from Quick Bites. I peeked inside Pancho Villa's almost 3 years ago, around the time the restaurant opened. The look was classic hole in the wall, and the location, in a Cary strip mall dominated by ethnic restaurants and shops, was promising. But the name, coupled with the poster-sized vintage black and white photographs of Pancho Villa on one wall, gave me doubts about authenticity. I added Pancho Villa's to the long list of places I might check out someday, and I promptly forgot about it. Then, a few weeks ago, I got an email from a reader who raved about the place, citing, among other things, made-to-order guacamole, tacos on homemade tortillas, and her gregarious, warmly hospitable owner. Just like that, Pancho Villa's was back off the back burner. The moment I walked through the door, I saw and smelled the error of my ways. Sure enough, a woman behind the counter was assembling tacos on rustically thick homemade corn tortillas for a dining room filled with an equal mix of construction workers and Cary families. The room was awash in the viscerally enticing aroma of pork fat, whose source I traced to the back of the room. There, another woman was pulling hunks of pork from a massive cauldron where they had been cooked to falling off the bone tenderness in hot lard. Those two women, it turns out, are cousins of owner Luis Ramirez. The pork, as the affable Ramirez would later explain to me, is Michigan-style carnitas made from the whole hog. It's one of the dozen filling options for Pancho Villa's excellent, generously filled tacos. But tacos are hardly the only attraction. Beside the usual assortment of burritos, quesadillas, and tortas, the offering includes a selection of entree plates ranging from carne asada to morjera, which, as the bilingual menu explains, is fried tilapia. Under the heading of street style, enticements include huaraches, empanadas, sopas, gorditas, flautos, and Salvadorian pupusas. There's something for everyone, in fact, including breakfast. The restaurant is open from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. every day but Sunday, and a kids menu, an entire section of the menu devoted to vegetarian fare. Best of all, everything I've tasted has been good and much of it excellent. Among my favorites so far, I've already been back twice since the first visit, are the costillas de res, grilled beef short ribs, pupusas, and tacos. Take your pick. The fried sweet plantains are not to be missed, and when you're asked whether you like them with cream and cheese, say yes. Somehow I haven't gotten around to trying the guacamole yet. I'm looking forward to sampling the fish taco, too, and the barbacoa, and I'd really like to stop in for breakfast sometime and try the huevos divorciados. Looks like I've got a lot of catching up to do. Pancho Villa's Mexican Grill. It's located in Cary at 748-B East Chatham Street, and their phone number is 468-2022. In Western Wake, three ways to eat Eastern. Move over, Cary. Looks as if Morrisville is out to challenge your long-standing reputation as the hub of Indian cuisine in the Triangle. Hyderabadi cuisine, especially the biryani, for which the region is famous, is the specialty at Paradise India Cuisine, and that's located at 10255-400 Chapel Hill Road, their phone number 481-6881. The first North Carolina location of a New Jersey-based chain, the restaurant is open 7 days a week and serves only halal meals. There's always at least one biryani dish among the options on the daily $8.99 lunch buffet. The a la carte menu expands the possibilities to include a wide range of dishes, from fish curry to chicken pepper fry to five variations on the biryani theme, chicken, shrimp, goat, egg, or vegetable. Local franchisee Garaj Mengesh plans to offer beer and wine as soon as the permits are approved. At Hot Bread's Cafe, and that's located at 1901-103 Northwest Cary Parkway, and their phone number is 677-1331, the menu isn't limited to a single region, or a single continent for that matter. Owner Shipra Jain and the classically trained executive chef Mark Sharp have teamed up to create an offbeat offering that gets its inspiration from India, Europe, and the Americas. On the menu over the order counter, you'll find a dozen or so savory options, from chicken tikka panini to aloo puffs, French-style puff pastry turnovers with an Indian spice cauliflower filling. The pastry display case tempts with a rainbow of individual layer cakes, ranging from mango to black forest. Whole cakes, including birthday cakes, also may be ordered. Hot Breads Cafe is not affiliated with Hot Breads, a restaurant with a similar concept in Richmond, Virginia. If it's something a little more mainstream you're craving, set your GPS for the address of Royal Dhaba, and that's spelled D-H-A-B-A, and they're located at 962-B Airport Boulevard, and their phone number is 460-3339. The GPS isn't essential, of course, but it's helpful in finding the restaurant, which is hidden behind a mobile gas station. And this is worth seeking out. It's owned by Ram Tirath, owner of Royal India, the North Raleigh restaurant that has been one of the area's premier Indian restaurants since 1990. The new restaurant is smaller and a bit more casual than the original, but the menu is substantially the same, which, as Royal Indian fans know, is a broad sampling of mostly northern Indian fare. They're open daily for lunch and dinner. Triangle Restaurants on the Move. Better check your GPS again before heading out to dinner tonight. Your destination may be closer than you think, given the number of restaurants that have moved or opened in new locations recently. Pops, which is in downtown Durham, has managed to do both. After 15 years at Peabody's Place, the restaurant has moved a couple of blocks away to Spiffier Diggs at 605 West Main Street. Pop's back door, the pizza takeout and delivery annex, remains at the old location at 810 West Peabody Street, which is still available for private functions. Pop's Back Door South is a spin-off of the back door concept with a slightly expanded menu and a dine-in option, is also open at 3710 Shannon Road, also in Durham. In Chapel Hill, Sandwich has moved down the street to the old Patio Loco spot at 407 West Franklin Street. The larger space allowed the owners to expand hours to include dinner, with full table service and Sunday brunch. The sandwich shop's dinner menu includes an entree presentation of owner chef Haikum El Beltri's popular lamb tagine sandwich and a rotisserie chicken served family style that Janet El Beltri describes as killer delicious. In Cary, another longtime favorite lunch spot has pulled up stakes after a decade and a half. You can now find the Carey Cafe and the Harrison Point Shopping Center at 212 Grand Heights Drive. And finally, here's a roundup of new locations. Bavaria Brothas is located at 4010 Durham Chapel Hill Boulevard in Durham, phone number 381-6412. Chubby's Taco is at 2806 South Miami Boulevard in Durham. Henry's Gelato is opening at the North Hills Shopping Center, and that's at 141-111 Park at North Hills Street in Raleigh. Saffron is opening at 3140 Environ Way in Chapel Hill, and that phone number is listed as 240-7490. Tobacco Road, another location, is opening in Durham at 280 South Mangum Street, and their phone number is 937-9909. A tour of Asia, no passport needed. Hop aboard the Wake County Orient Express, where two new restaurants take you on a gastronomic tour of Asia without ever crossing the county line. The first stop is North Hills, where Spring Rolls, and that's located at 4361-100 Lassiter at North Hills, phone number 783-8180, features Chinese and Thai cuisines with a quick side trip into Vietnam for Spring Rolls. Owners Eddie and Susan Tu, a brother and sister who previously owned a Chinese restaurant in Toronto, have broadened their culinary horizons to include traditional and contemporary fare for their new venture, served in a suitably cosmopolitan setting. Pending license approval, a full bar will offer lychee martinis and other signature cocktails. Spring Roll's menu covers an eclectic spectrum from kung pao chicken to cherry-flavored crispy pork and offers especially strong selections of vegetarian fare and noodle dishes. Sections are devoted to variations on ho fun, pad thai, chow mein, Shanghai and spicy basil noodle variations. For dessert, the pastry cart skips over to the Western Hemisphere for the likes of red velvet cake and key lime pie. Next destination is Carey, where you're greeted by the sounds of a stone waterfall in the bar near the entrance of Ichabar, and that's located at 1207-J Kildare Farm Road, phone number 465-3166. According to manager Wen Jian, the restaurant's name is a bilingual wordplay on the Japanese Ichiban, which means number one, and the English bar. Presumably, the bar refers both to the one near the entrance, where patrons sip beverages including chilled sake and Japanese mojito, and the sushi bar at the back of the restaurant, whose selection is even more extensive. The menu is equally thorough when it comes to the rest of the Japanese repertoire, and the kitchen special section hits the high spots of Chinese-American fare, with two dozen options ranging from muku gaipan to Chen Rou Zhao's chicken. And now it's time to read some of the restaurant reviews. Before we get started, just a reminder, 5 stars means extraordinary, 4 stars excellent, 3 stars above average, 2 stars average, and 1 star fair. The first restaurant review we're going to read is for Captain Stanley's, and they're located at 6305 Falls of Neuse, and that's in Raleigh. Their phone number is 876-8662, and they received 2.5 stars. When the original Captain Stanley's opened 3 decades ago, sushi was still referred to as bait, and not necessarily jokingly, by many locals. The menu at the Wilmington Street Landmark has evolved over the years to keep up with the times, and now includes a variety of options from grilled tuna to shrimp panned in butter. But at its heart, Captain Stanley remains a bastion of traditional calabash-style fried seafood. Allie Gurweer, who brought the restaurant from founder Laverne Stanley in 2004, knew better than to mess with success. He kept the fried seafood breader and recipes for other popular dishes just as they were. But he intended to build on Captain Stanley's reputation by opening another restaurant with a further expanded menu. He did that in October, when he opened a second Captain Stanley's in North Raleigh. The style of the new restaurant is decidedly more contemporary than the original, with nautical charts and models of sailing ships, combining tastefully with the barrel shade pendant lights and other design elements inherited from the Ruby Tuesdays that previously occupied the building. The menu has been updated too, and now includes a wide selection of fish and shellfish preparations. Entire sections are devoted to grilled and broiled seafood, including a nightly fish seafood special. Other options cover a wide spectrum from New England-style clam chowder to oyster po' boy to steamed Alaskan snow crab legs. The usual chicken and steak alternatives are available for landlubbers dragged to the restaurant by their seafood-loving spouses. Provided you don't fill up on the hush puppies brought to you to your table soon after you're seated, the artichoke and spinach dip with crab meat makes a fine shareable starter. There's a surprisingly generous amount of crab meat in the dish, given its $6.99 price. General Manager Shaker Ased credits the thrifty use of trimmings from those Alaskan snow crab legs. A saltless surprise. Ased also explains why you might find yourself frequently reaching for the salt shaker. "We go easy on the salt and leave the seasoning up to the customer," he says, "on the theory that it's easier to add salt than to remove it." True enough, and it's a boon to health-conscious customers. It comes as something of a shock, though, when you take that first bland sip of oyster stew. Blandness wasn't the problem with the platter of broiled scallops and oysters, which were liberally seasoned with garlic butter and paprika. The problem was overcooking to the point that the scallops were rubbery and the oysters shriveled. It didn't help that the oysters were not in their shells. On the other hand, the grilled grouper that was offered as a nightly special scored a culinary trifecta: fresh-tasting, expertly cooked, and properly seasoned. The potato wedges, entrees come with your choice of two sides, were nice and crisp too, though they needed salt. The Brunswick stew was better than I've had in many a barbecue joint. In short, navigating the waters of the new menu can be tricky indeed. For smooth sailing, it's safer to stick to the well-traveled routes of fried seafood platters. Choose from a dozen options, from Calabash Classics flounder, shrimp and oysters, to less typical options such as trout and catfish. Or mix and match your favorites for a 2-, 3-, or 4-item combination platter. I'm partial to the baby flounder and clam strips, but execution is pretty consistent across the board. Even the deviled crab, often little more than highly spiced breading stuffed into a crab shell, is a keeper here. It's hard to beat the prices, too. Calabash platters are $9 to $12 for a small, enough for most appetites, and a buck or two more for a large. Weeknight Calabash specials, all under $7, are a downright steal. Don't be tempted by the $2.49 price tag on the key lime pie, though. It isn't worth it. My experience with the new menu in the North Raleigh was mixed. The expanded offering has evidently found a strong following, though, because it's now offered at the original Captain Stanley's as well. One thing you still won't find at either location is sushi. Again, Captain Stanley's received 2.5 stars. Located at 6305 Falls and Noose Road in Raleigh, their phone number is 876-8662. The next restaurant we're going to read is in Cary, and it's Genki, and that's spelled G-E-N-K-I. They're located at 1410 Road in the Stonebridge Village Center, phone number 963-6636, and they received 2.5 stars. Dashi Soy, the sushi chef at Genki, says as he places the small dish in front of me just after setting down the bamboo tray of sushi I've ordered. It's very good with sushi, and indeed it is. Though visually indistinguishable from regular soy sauce, this blend carries subtle notes of kelp, anchovy, and dried bonito flakes, the key flavor components of a traditional dashi broth. The briny taste is a natural foil for the raw fish. The dashi soy is one of those special little touches that a sushi chef may sometimes offer at his discretion. In my case, I suspect it's because I've ordered some of the rarest and priciest fish on the menu, including kampachi, a variety of yellowtail with a mild flavor and an exceptionally buttery texture, and madai, a delicate, subtly sweet fish also known as pink snapper. Both are only available seasonally and market priced, $7.95 for the standard 2 nigiri pieces when I ordered them. Both, as the sushi chef proudly informs me, are flown in fresh from Japan. I've also ordered the Toro Special, $6.95, which turns out to be a couple of generous pieces of fatty tuna belly, their centers warm just enough to color the flesh and intensify their rich flavor. A quick dip in the dashi soy is sufficient for the kampachi and made, but the Toro, which the chef has artfully garnished with a tiny top knot of chive curls, benefits from a longer soak. On her previous visit, when my more mainstream order included the sashimi sampler and a couple of house specialty rolls, the dashi soy wasn't offered. The fish was without exception clean and fresh tasting, though, and simply but attractively presented. Throughout the meal, telling details, wisps of wakame seaweed in the miso soup, a shiso leaf garnish on a sushi presentation, green tea flavored with the earthy, subtly smoky notes of toasted brown rice, suggested that Genki is a notch above the typical strip mall Japanese restaurant. My subsequent visit to the sushi bar confirms that impression. The kitchen is capable of delivering a rewarding meal, though in my experience not as reliably as the sushi bar. An appetizer order of yakitori yields two bamboo skewers of moist mirin and soy glazed chicken nuggets, alternating with lightly caramelized segments of grilled scallion. Tempura shrimp and vegetables are crisp and not at all greasy, though the broccoli is overcooked. Panko flounder, one of Genki's signature entrees, serves up an ample portion of commendably crisp fillets. They're crisp, that is, in the places that aren't thickly blanketed with saccharine mango sauce and a gelatinous sweet and sour sauce. I'd recommend getting these sauces on the side. Better yet, skip them and instead ask for a lemon wedge. The menu also offers the usual teriyaki and hibachi suspects, as well as a handful of noodle dishes. Thin egg noodles and julienne vegetables in the shrimp yakisoba are toothsome in a light, ginger-tinged soba sauce, but the shrimp were flavorless. Chicken or beef versions are also available, and I suspect that either would prove more rewarding. On occasion, the sushi bar misses the mark, too. A recent special of salmon tartare was attractively presented in a martini glass. But the fish was chopped to a texture bordering on mush, and it sat on a bed of daikon threads swimming in a puddle of water. The sushi chef is young, and judging by the painstaking pace at which he works, not as experienced as the seasoned veteran he replaced a few weeks ago. He's off to a promising start, though, and is already well on his way to establishing Genki as one of Carrie's best bets for sushi. Li Ni, the restaurant's owner and warmly hospitable hostess, stands at the sushi chef's side as he's preparing my lavish order of kenpachi, mede, and toro. She's unobtrusively observing his every move, evidently watching to make sure he gets everything just right. I don't think she needs to be concerned. Again, Genki received 2.5 stars, located at 3420 1010 Road in the Stonebridge Village Shopping Center, and that's in Cary, phone number 963-6636. We do have time to read one more restaurant review, and this one is, unfortunately, I do not have listed how many stars it received, but it is Sitar Indian Cuisine. And they are located at 3630 Durham Chapel Hill Boulevard, located in Durham, and their phone number is 490-1326. Sitar Indian Cuisine was known as Sitar Indian Palace for the first decade of its existence, though the original location was anything but palatial. The fact that the restaurant survived so long in an otherwise abandoned strip mall is a testament to the quality of the food. It didn't hurt either that Sitar was the first restaurant in the area to offer a broad selection of Southern Indian fare. The name change coincided with the move in January of last year to more spacious and decidedly more attractive quarters. Linen-draped tables, carpeted floors, and ornate white woodwork against a backdrop of rich red and saffron gold create a setting that is, if not regally sumptuous, certainly festive and warmly inviting. At opposite corners of the main dining room are a tandoor oven that can be viewed through a glass enclosure and a platform where live sitar and tabla music is played on Friday and Saturday nights. Clearly, ambiance has been given elevated status at the new sitar. Happily, the new emphasis on setting doesn't come at the expense of the food. The menu has grown a bit, in fact, and now offers more than 100 dishes, an extensive tour of the subcontinent from the kormas and tandoori dishes of the north to the idli and dosa of the south. Given the ambitious variety of the offering, execution is surprisingly solid. Appetizers are helpfully divided into northern and southern specialties, making it easy to create your own self-guided tour. On the southward leg of that tour, Masala Dosa is a prime destination. A large petal-thin rice and lentil flour crepe with a delicately crisp edge and a curry-fragrant filling of mashed potatoes is served with the traditional accompaniments of sambar, a spicy lentil stew, and coconut chutney. Heading north, you'll find the familiar pakoras and samosas, including excellent flaky crusted meat samosas with a savory filling of ground lamb and peas. The tandoori mixed grill is another winning starter option, served in ample portion for two to share. On second thought, you might want to hold off on the mixed grill starter and instead explore the broader territory of tandoori entrees, represented by nearly a dozen choices from paneer tikka to shrimp malai kebab. Hariyali kebab, featuring boneless chicken breast whose surface is dyed emerald green with a marinade of mint and cilantro, is an exotic alternative seldom seen in these parts. Productive as they are, Sitar's tandoori ovens, in addition to the tandoor in the dining room, there are two more in the kitchen that also turn out several worthy variations on the flatbread theme, are by no means the only source of rewarding fare. Beef vindaloo, which the waiter talked me into trying in lieu of the lamb vindaloo I usually favor, was a fiery delight, authentically pungent with vinegar and chilies. At the opposite end of the spectrum, and equally satisfying, was the tropical fragrance of ginger and curry leaves in the coconut sauce of shrimp duna pula. Between those two extremes is a kaleidoscope of colors and textures, the buttery softness of cauliflower florets, punctuated by garlic, tomato, and bell pepper, in lasuni gobi, the primal earthiness of the goat curry, Navratan Korma's complex medley of vegetables and dried fruits, in a delicately perfumed almond and cashew sauce. I suppose it's inevitable, given the sheer number and variety of dishes offered, that Sitar's kitchen occasionally plays a sour note. Lamb kebabs that are a little dry, say, or chicken 65 that isn't as crisp as it should be. Such miscues are infrequent, though, and certainly shouldn't discourage you from exploring the menu freely. I even feel comfortable recommending the buffet, especially on Friday and Saturday nights, when the expanded selection includes items not available from the menu. Turnover is high thanks to the dual attraction of good food and live music. Of course, those weekend crowds mean that reservations are practically a must, a small price to pay, really, to enjoy the sweet music of the new Sitar. And again, Sitar is located at 3630 Durham Chapel Hill Boulevard in Durham, phone number 490-1326. And we have run out of time for today's episode of the Restaurant Reviews. Be sure to listen again. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Missy Hollander, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. This program is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast. So long until next time.